give me a choke point status on podcasts. Since you've kind of covered, you know, Audible books, we don't produce Audible books. Give me a choke point status on podcasts in this landscape we're in.
Yeah. So I wrote a piece about this called Podcasts Have Remained Hearteningly Unshitifiable, uninshitifiable, or unshitification resistant. So, you know, in order to unshitify a service, you need to first lock in the audience and then you lock in the suppliers. So you lock in the audience by giving them goodies. Then you lock in the suppliers by giving them goodies. And then you take away the goodies from both of them and they're locked in. And so oftentimes you can lock in users by like just attracting other users. So if like, if you're on Facebook because your friends are there and your friends are on Facebook because you're there, then you all have to agree that it's time to go and where to go. And it can just be really hard. And so you can like mutually take each other hostage. That doesn't really apply to podcasting. In fact, the fact that podcasting is built on RSS and that RSS does have these like forwarding directives that are just built into the XML where like you can change the URL of your podcast and all the podcatchers will just hop over has made it very hard to lock in audiences. And then there's a platform lock-in for podcasters. And you had companies like Spotify go on these acquisition tears, you know, where they bought out Joe Rogan and they bought out Pineapple and they bought out, you know, all these other Gimlet and all these other studios. And as soon as they took the RSS away and tried to lock them into the app, just people just didn't go over, right? They were just like, forget it. Even BBC Sounds, which is like part of this long run trend at the BBC, you know, I lived in the UK for years and was involved in these fights and helped, you know, ghostwrite some of the charter renewal in the mid 2000s. There's always been this group of people who feels like the BBC should not be publicly funded and should make its money by selling stuff to Americans and then giving that stuff away to British people. And the problem is that that means that all the stuff that you make is for an American audience. And one of the things that BBC Sounds is oriented around is moving people from listening to BBC podcasts on podcatchers that have ad skipping to moving them to a proprietary app where you can't skip the ads, which means that your ad rate card goes up, right? If you can't skip the ad, then you can charge more for the ad.
Right.
And you can make a worse ad, right? You can unshitify the ads, you know? And so people aren't using BBC Sounds either, right? When podcasts go into BBC Sounds, people just change their listening behavior. And so it's been very heartening. I think that, you know, it's not that firms aren't going to keep trying. Apple has just obfuscated its RSS even further. I've actually heard some people say that there is no longer a deobfuscatable RSS feed from an Apple Podcasts feed. You can't derive it anymore, which is, you know, a deliberate piece of engineering to allow Apple to usurp the relationship between audiences and performers, audiences and podcasters, because it means that if you leave the platform, there's just no easy way for people to like get a tool that goes through their iTunes preferences or their, you know, Apple Podcast preferences and just exports that list and moves it into a podcatcher. And so with the knowledge that people can't leave Apple can then put the screws to podcasters and say things like, you have to use our ad network and we're going to take a bigger commission or whatever, right? It gives them all kinds of opportunities to shift the distributional outcome from the creative workers to the intermediary, which is the name of the game in platform capitalism.
Yeah, for sure.